I've had the Apple Vision Pros for almost a month now, and I've used it in various scenarios. One thing that I haven't done a whole lot of is doing those crazy things where people were using it in public in places where Apple clearly did not intend for people to use the Apple Vision Pro. First off, I think the biggest question that I get a lot of is, Mike, tell me what you think, right? Should we get one? Is it awesome or not? So let me just start with that. These things are amazing. Hands down amazing. You will not have experiences on any other platform or headset at this point in time. This truly is the future. Apple, $1 trillion company, we all know their products, and this is definitely feels like a product of the future. Now, with that said, because it is a product of the future, I don't think a lot of us are quite ready yet, and I don't think even Apple is quite ready yet for this. But I guess this, who knows how long this has been in development. It's probably been in development for a while. And they are definitely ahead of the game. They put in the best technologies available in here, brought it down to a somewhat of a consumer price point. We're looking at around $4,000 for the base model. With taxes, if you have taxes, we have taxes here in California. I live about a mile and a half from the main Apple headquarters. And our taxes are, you know, pretty high. So we're looking about $4,000, probably about $5,000 once you put in AppleCare and all the other accessories that you probably want to protect with it. So this is eye-wateringly expensive. We own a car that is cost less than the Apple Vision Pros. They are amazing. If you have the money, yes, I absolutely think you should just buy it and do the whole 14-day trial period. For anybody else who doesn't have the money set aside for this, because they pretty much talked about last year and people were talking about the prices, and when you compare with the Meta headsets, of which I have also been testing along with the Apple Vision Pros just to see where we're at in terms of resolution for my purposes. This is only $500. Now, recently, Mark Zuckerberg did a little video that was recorded on the Meta Quest 3, where he talked about how Meta Quest 3 is just a better headset. And for some things, yes, it is. All right. If you are a gamer, you have children, you want to share a headset, Meta Quest 3 is the best. If you are a lone user or someone whose partner doesn't really care to put on things like this, the Apple Vision Pro might make sense too. The best experiences I've had in the Vision Pro and the awesome wow moments are the immersive experiences. Hands down, the best. The good news is you can experience this for free. If you go to apple.com, go down to Apple Vision Pro area, click book a demo. I think if you are interested in getting something like this, just book a demo, go to your local Apple store. You can experience it for free in person. They set up a whole like quasi little living room space with couches and everything. Just go in with your glasses, contact lenses, whatever. They would even check your prescription with their machine and put in the appropriate lenses for you to go ahead and experience this yourself. Now, unfortunately, when I went to pick this up, I didn't do that. I actually had my nephew and my wife with me, and they're, even though my nephew would be interested very much in Apple Vision Pro, we weren't really there for it. It just so happened that I had my nephew with me, and this isn't quite ready for children to use. For instance, there's no real games, although they can experience some of these things. I just didn't feel a need to drag two other people along and wait for me to get this all stuff and set up. But definitely book the demo. Try it out. You will see what I'm talking about in terms of the most of immersive experiences you've ever experienced. There are experiences and 3D demos in there that I swear it feels like the only things we're missing was that I can't feel the breath of the rhinoceros and that I don't have the smells that I would smell typically when I'm around a wild animal or at the zoo. But other than that, they were that close to real. So those entertainment, hands down, the best thing about this. If there was a killer app in general, it would just be entertainment. Unfortunately, what I was primarily evaluating it for was for use for productivity. And for that, I think my money is better spent on other Apple products for productivity, of which I already do. For instance, I got the MacBook Pro, the M chips, freaking amazing. I still have the M1 series. It is above and beyond everything. And the fact that they were able to put one of those M chips in here is also really amazing too. Now, what I really wish that I was able to do with this was to have the giant screen and feel comfortable using it. Then I can just replace all the screens I have around me here. Unfortunately, Apple isn't ready for that. You can only do one screen mirrored from my laptop, so that was a little bit out. But more importantly than that is, and you'll get a little bit of experience of this when you go back to the demo and put on a headset. If you didn't put on one of these headsets before, it's going to feel heavy, right? And it probably won't feel super comfortable. Even now, with the dual strap setup right now, I don't look forward to putting this thing on. We'll put it that way. And that's not a good thing to say about something so expensive that I was really hoping to use on a regular basis. So I guess if there was one major thing that is killing this for me is, one, the lack of a real killer app, right? Number two is the Apple really locks down their products. They have the whole M series chip in here. This is one very powerful machine and chip in here with the M and the R chips that handle the other stuff with all the cameras and everything in here. I think it's the R1 and M2 chip in here. And if they would just unlock it to be more, a little bit more quasi-desktop like, that would be absolutely amazing. They advertise that this is the era of spatial computing. And I see where they're going with this, but unfortunately, we're not there because I don't want to put this on for more than an hour at a time. Like, I just need a break from it. Now, the demo's experience in here that you see is in ideal lighting conditions. This is not what you're going to get, but it's pretty close. There's a dozen cameras going on in here that track your eye movement, your finger movement, and how you operate the whole thing, and also looking outward to produce what through the goggles. That is just amazing. They have the best technology in here, hands down. It's Sony OLED, roughly 4K per eye. Just astoundingly amazing. Okay. So this demo here that you see roughly is the experience that that you see putting it on. This person's reading the LA Times. That's cool. I feel like it's still not a great experience, but mostly because my eyes are terrible. I have contact lenses on right now, and even then, they only correct so much in terms of astigmatism. So my experience with the Vision Pros could be better if I had better eyes or laser vision or something like that. I tried the insert. They recommended me. Here's the thing that not a lot of people talk about, because this is probably varies from person to person. But I'm at the age, I'm 46 now, and I have problems with far vision and near vision. So it's just bad. Okay, so I can't see up close. I can't see far away. In fact, the perfect vision that I have is like right here, like this close to my face without corrective vision. Like this, it's this close, which is good because it's just enough for me to look at my iPhone at night without my glasses on or contact lenses or any corrective vision. So Apple recommends when you buy the device, we'll go through a little bit of that so you can see what that's like a little bit later. When you go to try to buy the device, I ask you things about your vision. Right? So that makes recommendations, and so that you can upload your prescription information. And I put down that, hey, I want to go with the contacts because I heard that getting the lenses takes about 2 weeks. And if you have a trial of 2 weeks or 10 days or something like that to get those lenses from Zeiss, you're going to get your lenses right when you got to return your Vision Pros. So I went with the contact lenses, the contact lens option. And I put down the close-up vision, and so they recommended the first set, which is the lowest set. It's plus 0.25 to plus 1.5. Those of you guys with farsightedness will know what I'm talking about. Turns out I didn't even need them. Most of the time, I don't need them in there. So I didn't actually need to add those in there. And putting those in actually adds a little bit of flair, which removes from the immersiveness that you get. Another thing, the blacks are really black in there. The problem is with the lenses. And there's the only way to do that is to use the current lens technology that we have in here. And I forgot what exactly that is, but the lenses in there basically are such that they're basically pancake lenses. And with these pancake lenses, you get flare from extreme bright sources, including from the screen. So the screen gets super duper bright as needed, all right, to transmit through the glasses. And it's automatically regulated, by the way. So you don't really have too much control over it. I suppose in the future, there will be apps that allow you to control the brightness. But for now, with Apple released the way that it works, you don't get to control the brightness, really. It's just adaptive. So it has sensors in the glasses, of course, all around everywhere. And based on that information, it adjusts the brightness for you and also in context of what you're using. And generally, I find it to be okay, but sometimes I want manual control of it and just adjust it a little bit dimmer for nighttime use, for instance. So we get these annoying glares, and sometimes it feels like, hey, I wear glasses. The glare sometimes feels like, oh, are my glasses smudged? So I get a little bit of that in the extreme high contrast environments that I might have in here sometimes. So that's annoying. Okay. It's a little bit annoying. That's one thing that I don't think anybody has overcome yet. And then the other thing was I was hoping with the price that I pay for the Zeiss lenses that they would have better coatings on there. And no, they're not. They don't have the really fancy coatings that they have for the anti-glare, anti-reflective stuff on it. They're decent lenses, okay? They're decent lenses, but they don't have the same level of coatings that Carl Zeiss was known for. And Carl Zeiss is no longer Carl Zeiss, okay? So there is some, okay? I see some of it, but it's not enough to remove all the potential additional glare from here. I don't know. I think they're saving the best stuff for later, or that's just not an option, unfortunately. And really, your only option is to get glasses from Zeiss directly. Not a bad brand, okay? I love my Carl Zeiss lenses. They are absolutely amazing. However, I just felt like for the price you paid for these lenses, they could be better. Now, I haven't tried the actual prescription lenses, so I don't know how those go. Maybe those are a lot better, and maybe that's why they're worth the amount that you pay for. I think it's $150 plus or more. So I haven't tried that yet. That's the one other thing that I may try when I try the Vision Pros again. So those are the main two things. Okay, entertainment. Another thing is mostly because there is no amazing killer app in here. There's a lot of demo apps. And if you've seen enough Vision Pro videos, you've already seen some of the best demo apps out there right now. So because this is so new, I think it's just going to take a while before developers catch up and really learn some of the things that people may want to do or use with a Vision Pro, particularly this price point. And then looking forward to look at, hey, what are the new Apple Visions going to be? They're not going to be as pro. Maybe they're not going to have as powerful of a processor in there. All right. And they'll probably be lighter, and they're probably going to remove one of these somewhat interesting, though weird, features, which is if you see right here, you're supposed to see my face when you're in there. Trust me, it will almost never look as good as the example in the screen right now. This is taken in clearly studio environment, arguably potentially AI generated or cleaned up. But your face does not come to as well as that, particularly if you are a person of color. So it's not going to look as that. And it's like a Fresnel look. I feel like this is almost like one of those false advertising things where this was the concept. This is the picture they stuck with in terms of the concept. But in reality, it doesn't quite look to this level of clarity. Most people are not going to look at it. Like here, I'm not really freaked out by seeing this person. But when I put on these things, I guarantee you the first time people are looking at you, they're going to be a little bit weirded out by eye thing. Not to mention the avatars or personas that it makes right now. Keep in mind, this is really just over a month into release. So I expect some of these things, once they have that killer app, once they have the whole thing set up so that I can just connect to my laptop and use everything with my fingers only, or at least just with a small little Bluetooth Apple keyboard and trackpad, I think I'd be game again. And the people that really need to buy this is, one, the developers, right? If you're going to develop for this new spatial computing thing, that's one thing. Number two, influencers, because who doesn't want to see new content on Apple Vision Pros or the future of computing? I think that's a big thing for a lot of people. And number three are people who travel a lot, who are on planes, trains, and stuff a lot. And another caveat to that is people who are on those so much and that are not sleeping. Okay. Why do I say that? I took these recently to Chicago. And I got all my, I took this with my one thing and I checked in my luggage and I got my luggage completely stolen from the Southwest Carousel. There's another story about that later. Lost a lot of stuff. But I had my Apple Vision Pros because I had this in my backpack. This is pretty big. This is the Apple Vision Pro actually carry case, this little poof thing. It is $200. I figured, hey, if you're going to have something that costs $4,000, you're going to want to protect the hell out of it. This thing does it in spades. So I'm going to have a little video about these Apple Vision Pro bags a little bit later. But for me, on the plane, if it's a short plane ride, I really don't need to be watching a cinema experience with the Vision Pro headsets on there. So I never did put them on. I was just taking a short little nap anyway. So do I want the Vision Pros in my head? No, absolutely not. And then in many other cases, for me, traveling on the airlines, it's just a very stressful experience. Something usually oftentimes goes wrong somewhere along the way. So as stressed out as I am, if it was a long flight, yeah, absolutely, I'm putting these on. But for short flights, I go up and down, maybe up and down California, down to Vegas to see my family. I don't need to put these on. I'm good. I listen to a podcast, close my eyes, try to relax after the stressful experience of going through airport security check-in and all that jumble mess. For me, it wasn't something, even though I brought it, I didn't feel a need to put it on because, again, relates back to the comfort. All right. Everybody's different with the comfort. And getting this thing sized precisely for my head with the iPhone scan was interesting, but still, I can't get over how uncomfortable this is. So I have a relatively big head. And for me, a 33W is what was recommended in here. So one thing that I probably would have done or would do in the future is to try, see if I can try different headband sizes. I had to redo this whole last part of the video. I'm sorry. What happened was I lost track of how much space I had left for the recording on my computer system. And yeah, computer tried to warn me. I ignored it. I was out of complete space. I had to delete a bunch of stuff, move it off onto the NAS drive, and now put on my Vision Pro headsets just so I can remind myself and you as I'm looking at this how the comfort level is just not fantastic past a certain period of time. Okay, so I have this on right now. Okay, so as I was saying, went to the Chicago ad hoc, walked right in Apple Store, the one along the river. And they basically were trying to fit me in there so I can try a different fitting size. But there were just too many people testing it out. So I wasn't going to be able to go in there and try a different size. So what I recommend, again, going back with this, is when you go in to get your fitting, they're going to only talk about the light seal, right? They're not going to talk about, they're not going to ask you how comfortable it is. You're just going to adjust it yourself and try to get as comfortable as you can. And I still struggle with this dual loop thing. It's not the best. I haven't found a great experience with getting this on my head in such that I don't feel a bunch of pressure on my face. So that's what I feel. I feel pressure on my face over here. Just feels front heavy. And then after a while, my eyes feel strained. Now, the field of view of this is like this, okay? So I'm looking through right now on a screen, and it's like this, right? Now, the Meta Quest 3, it's more like this. So it's wider on the Meta Quest 3. It also feels a lot lighter. I immediately, when I put this on, and then I switch over from the Vision Pros to the Meta Quest 3, it just feels a little bit more comfortable with that. And that's even with the crappy straps that are included with the Meta Quest 3. Once I upgrade these, it's going to be better. It's just an overall lighter weight experience with this. So you can definitely, it definitely feels like you can game better on this, which is great because this, the killer apps for this is definitely gaming. Hands down. Apple Vision Pro, they don't have enough of the applications or gaming for it to really, for it to really make sense. So my eyes will feel strained after a while. And it's not something that, it makes it so that it's not something that I look forward to wearing for a long period of time, which is okay if you abide by the rule how if we're all sitting inside, we're all working on computers, you should be standing up and moving around every 20 to 30 minutes or so, just taking a little break. So taking this off, putting it back on, I suppose it wouldn't be that bad. Now, where my experience is not as good as obviously because I was saying that my eyes are less than perfect and having to use the Zeiss Vision lenses in here doesn't really make it work well, particularly with a flare. So overall, this does feel like a beta product, and that's what Apple is selling. $3,500, it's or up to $4,000, $5,000 if you add in the other extra stuff in there. I'm really hoping that in 2 years, all this technology gets trickled down to regular Apple Vision. Maybe they can still keep the M2 processor, the R1 chip, or maybe they have a light version of the chip. Who knows? Maybe in 2 years, these chips will be a lot cheaper in order for it to use. But I feel like people who are visionaries or people who are thinking forward in terms of the company, for instance, my cousin, who goes around and does trainings for people on certain things, if they can provide an application where they just send out a headset rather than having to fly her out there, and then the person who is being trained just puts on a headset and they see everything augmented reality, exactly what they're supposed to be doing with a lot of demos and examples. And she's wearing a headset, she can walk through it virtually, like what the HoloLens was about. Just one trip could save thousands for the company. There's various use cases and scenarios for that. So if you're a developer, it makes sense for you to get it because you want to be forward thinking and hurry up and get those apps on there before the big rush of the next generation of headsets come around, because this is easily next gen or next gen above and beyond everything else, the best virtual reality headset. And the other thing is if you travel a lot, as I was mentioning, traveling a lot, you want the entertainment with you. If you travel and you want the big screens, like for me right now, with my setup, I just have 3 or 4 big screens around me. So I can just look around, access my notes. If I have a keynote up there, or I got my notes in front, and then I got my messages here, or anything urgent, or status bars, anything like that. Something that would be a lot more costly in terms of not just the price of the things, but the space. If you don't have the physical space to have these things around you, this makes a lot of sense for short periods of time, little bite periods of time. Okay. And then finally, of course, the entertainment. There is no better experience right now than having the Vision Pros on, Apple AirPod Pro Maxes, and a supported 3D immersive experience. Okay. And that's where a lot of this challenge is. There's not enough content out there. This is going to require some really fancy equipment in order to record all those experiences. That's why there's only a handful of them on there when you go into the Apple TV section, look at the immersive experiences. Truly mind-blowing. So I can easily see how, if you are a big sports fan and they set up these cameras, various parts of the courtside, people will easily spend $50 to be just like right there at the courtside. It would be just as if you're there, except that you do not get to participate. You can yell and scream all you want, but no one there is going to hear you because let's face it, this is really an experience just about yourself and just for yourself. Okay. And that's where there's also some problems with this. All right, you see my face right now. Can you see my eyes? This is what I'm talking about. All right. It's to reduce that whole feeling. Remember how people used to be called glass holes when they had the visionary, the Google glasses on there. And then now Apple's trying to train people to get used to this stuff, to be more social with this. But yet, if you look, every single experience in here in terms of the communication, okay, looking down on the computer, looking down at the experiences you have, let's say you having the meetings are only really great for you, yourself. Everyone else, they look fantastic because they're actually just using the picture and camera from their things. They're not these weird personas that look a little bit creepy. That's not what they are. They don't have Vision Pros on. They are actually real people in there. So it's really an experience that's good for you, not so great for anybody else who isn't on the Vision Pro. And that seems really selfish, doesn't it? Maybe that's something that they're going for. You spend $4,000 on a thing. You should be selfish by having the best experience that you can possibly have in meetings, but just not for other people. That's one of those things. They're talking about connection. And I'm not seeing that. You can't share this experience well with other people. Now, another thing about that, the guest mode is annoying for other people. Not only do you have the 17 different versions of the light seals that go across your head, every time you take off your headset, you want to share with someone else, you got to go through that whole sequence where they got to calibrate to their eyes and to the fingers. I guess there's no way around that other than that, hey, can you have separate users on there so that you can have them unlock once they put it on or once they link with the light seal? Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. So finally, we talk about some of the price. $3,500, just the entry level one. The only difference is between the different gigabytes of storage. Right now, because there's no apps, really, 256 gigabytes of storage are probably going to be just used up by any downloaded media that you have. Or if you're traveling on the plane, how many movies are you going to download in order to watch separately? Or how many are you going to record separately? So it's $3,500 for 256 gigs of RAM storage, sorry. There's actually 16 gigabytes of RAM on there. And then 512 for $38.99, $200 more, I believe. $3,700 for, let's take a look at right now, the whole buying process, right? And $38.99 if you want the full terabyte. And then if you're going to do some development edition, they have the separate piece that allows you to access the USB-C port. And also, perhaps another one of those straps that you can put aside. It's $200. It really is packed for people who are developers. And that's basically it. Then you want the accessories and you want the $500 Apple Care. You're looking at around $5,000 total for the highest end of the highest end. Now, I think that it's going to take a couple more years before, I'd say at least two more years before they produce a light version of this. I'm really curious what Meta's going to do about all this. With the pro version of their headset that didn't quite make that Mark Zuckerberg bet the whole company on, really didn't quite work out. It's still selling for about $1,000. I think they wanted like $1,500 before. It wasn't selling well. Now it's about $1,000. And then even then, you got a mix of something better with a Meta 3. What they did have with the Quest Pros, though, is, and the Quest series in general, is it's really, you can share it with your family easily. Also because they have controllers, people understand controllers, but you still have to carry those around. And the controllers are definitely a lot more accurate than the eyes. So they got to fix that with the Apple Vision Pros. And also that at least for the Quest Pros, it's easy to use over my glasses. I just slick them on and that's good. I can't do that with this. This is so tailored for it because of the eye tracking. It's so important in there. There's, at least a dozen cameras in there that are tracking with R1 processors to track your eyes. And it's not perfect. Particularly when you have glass inserts to correct your vision for use with the Vision Pros, your tracking is going to be a little bit off sometimes, depending on how tired your eyes are. At least this is the experience for me. And also getting this perfectly on there. I've seen plenty of videos where people have this on and they don't have it directly smack in the middle. I'm guilty of that myself. It's not necessarily smack in the middle of my face. So that itself will turn off a little bit of the tracking. So getting that just is also one of those challenges, even with these headsets and the way that they are right now. But I can't argue with how easy it is to use it once you figure it out. My nephew was using it within 5-10 minutes. He was looking around, pinching at things. It was all very natural. So give them kudos and props there. They definitely do a better job than what the MetaQuest does right now, especially with your fingers. What I'm really excited about is the productivity that this could be if you support multiple desktop screens. Right now, it's just one. There is a third-party app called Immersed. No, not Immersed. Immersed on the MetaQuest, which does a pretty decent job. Unfortunately, the screen fidelity is not quite as good. The interface is not as amazing as Vision Pro. But there is this other app. Let me see if I can pull it up right now. That just got out of beta, actually, today. Which does provide a second screen. It's called Split Screen. Yeah, Split Screens. For $20, I can get a second screen. It seems to work okay. I would hope and I would bet that Apple is working on something like that for Apple natively, which will work out better. I think part of the problem is with getting the refresh rates good enough over Wi-Fi, because that's the way it's working. Getting Wi-Fi off of my MacBook onto here and then getting the refresh rates and all the stuff all just right for that second or third screen. Which, by the way, is also a little bit of a shame because with these Vision Pros, they don't use the latest Wi-Fi technologies in here. Why? I don't know. Maybe they're just saving it for the Apple Vision Pro 2. So you're going to get faster Wi-Fi, and maybe they're thinking, hey, most people don't have super fast Wi-Fi at home anyway. They're not on Wi-Fi 6E or Wi-Fi 7. So why bother with this? Let's just sell it with the hardware it is today. This way, with the Vision Pro 2s come out, Vision Pro S, whatever they're going to call it, it's going to be able to support multiple screens better from your MacBook. So that's what's killing it for me. I just wish that Apple would unlock the M2 chip in here so that I can run a whole quasi potential Mac on here, right? And of course, this whole keyboard on the thing isn't working out very well, having to use this thing. Basically, if you didn't know, while it's compatible with any Bluetooth keyboard, you're going to need in order to use a trackpad with or a mouse with this, basically you can only use the trackpad right now. I think that's something that's going to be resolved in the future, but for now, you're just going to have to stick with Apple products in order to get that just right. And trust me, this Apple keyboard on the front is really not great for typing. It's really for short logins, if anything. So that's another thing that they should resolve for me for in terms of productivity. Although this is not bad. Right now, I have it connected to the Mac right now, and I do have some screens set up aside. And one of them I'm looking at is directly off of some of the notes that I have from the notes in my Mac. It works. But again, the main thing is the comfort. I don't want to put this on for longer than a period of time. Actually, what happens is when I take it off, I notice that my face feels a little bit poofy. My eyes look a little bit constrained. It's just eye strain. And I don't know if there is a way around this with this technology on my face right now. It's just uncomfortable. So for those are the main reasons why it's not quite worth it there for me. I think the ultimate interface in the future would be the Vision Pros in a pair of glasses. Just lightweight, just like putting on a pair of glasses. And of course, we're looking super duper uber future. It's just be integrated as a chip in you or in contact lenses, just like they have on future sci-fi shows. I think that's where it is right now. That's my take on the Apple Vision Pro. I am definitely curious to try this out again. Once some killer apps have come out, once there's more immersive environments and apps that come out, it's still going to take a little while. Camera technologies aren't quite there for everybody to be able to create these things. You really need an actual studio to produce the quality that I think Apple would expect. That's why we have these environments, okay? There's special environments on here. If I just rotate this crown, right now I am in Joshua Tree. And it looks amazing. I think if I just close all my windows, move them around, and just sit here and meditate, or even I can change the environment. There's right now, this very moment, there are Haleakala, which is up in Hawaii. And you've seen these. There's Yosemite in the winter. There's Joshua Tree. There's Mount Hood. And there's the moon. It's wild that I could be sitting on the moon, just looking around. I can't even imagine how they recorded this in this resolution at various stages of the sun, of the moon going around. It's so crazy and immersive. It's just amazing. So what I'm really looking forward to also is the photography. Apple Vision Pro really does bring 3D back. Remember, 3D was a big deal, like what, 10 years ago? Then it went away. And now with the spatial computing, we're seeing more 3D stuff coming back out. So I think it's going to take a while for the creators out there like myself to be able to produce stuff like this that is best consumed on a headset or a Vision Pro. And it's just going to take a while because the equipment's super expensive and it's very specialized for people to produce that quality. Right now, the best consumer one that you can get for this is a $5,000 Canon R5 or R5C with the double lenses on the front. But the resolution still isn't enough to take advantage of what the Vision Pro can do. So it's going to be really exciting after a couple years. So I guess the ideal time to get this and purchase this would be maybe 3 years down the line, three, maybe 4 years down the line, when there's plenty of content available and that there is plenty of apps available and where it's tested and it's a lot more lighter weight. And obviously, a lot more affordable, or at least inflation has gotten to the part where $3,000 is not so bad, or $2,000 even. I don't think we'll hit the $1,000 price point for something of this quality. Apple really did put the best of technologies in here. And Apple isn't making a lot of money on this. Obviously, they're just getting this technology out there, and the fact that they're bringing out to consumers and they're spending so much money in the setting up those living room spaces and all those employees to set it up for people to constantly try these and all the training involved. Yeah. You can look at it this way. It's a real big bargain. Paying $50,000 for your personal home theater that doesn't quite hold a candle to these and a pair of Apple Pro Maxes. Or look, I'm totally transporting Yosemite right now without the cold. It's like I am in Yosemite, and if everyone can have a few of these environments, like I'm just relax in Hawaii for a few minutes at a time, I think I would lower everybody's stress levels, and you might get a better life because of it. And can you really put a monetary amount on that? That's tough to say. I suppose you can just meditate too. But meditating on top of Hawaii, looking down at this beautiful sunrise and sunset, by the way, it changes with the time. It's priceless. It was priceless. Now it's going to cost you $3,500 plus tax and whatever recycling fees that is. And that could be very well worth it for you guys that can afford it. But as I said before, you can do a lot with the $4,000. For other things that you may be needing. Maybe you need a new laptop, right? Maybe you just want to play games. You just want to play games. You can't beat the MetaQuest. So I hate to agree with Mark Zuckerberg on this. This is probably the best AR VR headset for most people. But if you want the best entertainment device that is not gaming, Apple Vision Pro is it. So my 30 days is coming up. I am sending these back. I've already requested the return. I just think even for me, this is too early and too bleeding edge for me that I'm still going to wait and see. Once the killer application comes out, once I can do my video editing in here, and once I travel a lot, okay, if I travel a lot, this really makes a lot of sense. But lately, I've just been more sedentary. And for me, saving it for the next MacBook and using it for the next iPhone 16 Pro, iPhone 16 Pro Max makes the most sense. I will tell you this one other thing, though, is that if you were in the market for an iPad, I believe that once you get the Vision Pros, you're probably going to say, I don't need that iPad anymore because, look, all the apps are on here. It's better in general on here, except if you're drawing. Even if you're drawing, you draw your fingers in the apps in here. But maybe that's more intuitive for you. But to get down to some of the more minute details, you probably still need an Apple Pencil. But for most people, the Apple iPad was like an entertainment device, a portable entertainment device. Nothing's going to beat this. Which brings me yet to one other negative in terms of travel, which I already talked about. Short trips, I don't really care for, but larger trips, traveling with the AirPod Pros Max takes up quite a big amount of space. This will basically be my personal carry item. This and AirPod Pros. And then luggage where I don't want to lose my camera equipment like I did this past trip in Chicago, that'd be another thing. The ultimate would be once this is a lot lighter weight, a lot cheaper, glasses form, ready to go. I think that would be generally best. Okay. Seems like I'm a little bit blabbering right now. If you want to beta test this, the best thing to do is to go check it out in store. Try a few different headband sizes if possible, or to try to get a little bit more comfort. And if you do find one, you find out that, hey, you're this size. If you're 33W and you find out that, for instance, 35W makes the most sense, please let me know. Drop a link. Comment down below. Let me know what ended up to be the most comfortable for you to try. I'm very curious about that. I don't think enough people are talking about it. It really is about the comfort for this. And then the other thing they got to do is they got to improve the field of view here. Okay, let me remove myself from this environment. This right here, this is the view. Okay, this is the view that I get with the Apple Vision Pros, like this right here. With the MetaQuest, it's like this. So it's at least like 20% more. Some people did the hack where they removed the light field if possible, but just getting it right with the lenses and the eye tracking, I guess that's a little bit of the challenge. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next generation of this. Okay, I blabbed long enough. Hopefully you found some good information on here, if not informative. I don't know how entertaining this is. No, probably isn't very entertaining, but those are my thoughts on the Vision Pro. One final thing I want to say is that the photography on here is very immersive, but I just can't see myself wearing this around taking pictures of people. That's just one, there's not high enough resolution. Two, it's weird, at least for now. I've just been using my iPhone 15 Pro Max to take videos, but I could also take photos on here, 3D. And then also there's a QCam 3D. We'll do it. It's really slow to do it. Like it just feels like an old cell phone camera interface, but it can do it. So you can do it without getting the Vision Pros. So you can start creating content for the Apple Vision Pros, reasonably priced at, I think it was $399. And then plus the iPhones, all the newer generations are going to be able to support the spatial as well. So for those of you guys interested in doing the special spatial 3D type photography, want to do it on the cheap without spending $6,000, $7,000 for Canons or any other future solution, that's something to look forward to. All right, that's it for this video. Please give it a like, subscribe for more, and catch you next one. Next time I see you, I will not have these specifically, but yeah, I'm still on the fence. If I do get another one, or when I do get another one of these, I'm probably going to upgrade the storage size. 256 seems a little bit low for now. once all the apps come out, that's probably not going to be enough. I already feel the crunch on some of these other headsets. Now, this isn't going to be a problem for you if you're constantly connected onto the internet everywhere you go. But hey, if you travel to different places where you don't have internet, that's where the extra storage is going to make the most sense. Okay, catch you next one.